Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Welcome back, you guys. On today's episode, we are speaking with Rosie Cresitelli, who is a trauma-informed human design specialist.
You guys, I love hearing Rosie speak. It was such a great conversation to really break down what human design is. She has a beautiful way of walking through the profiles, the types, and how human design can truly unlock your most authentic self and give you the permission to be more of you.
Rosie blends human design with somatic coaching to help people come home to themselves, to trust their bodies, to regulate their nervous systems, and to live in alignment with how they're truly designed. Her work reminds us that the foundation isn't something we graduate from, it's where we return again and again to find our truth, our safety, and our full expression. Oh, this is such a good conversation, you guys.
Yes, we cannot wait to hear your feedback and enjoy.
Well, welcome. Thank We're so you. Happy to have you with us, Rosie.
I'm so happy to be here. So happy to be here.
I know. What's so sweet about being here is that we met at EOB, which is Aaron Porter's conference or conference event.
Yeah.
Is it a conference?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah. And during there, like, I feel like I've met you both in the same way. Like, you were very motherly at the end. You came up and you hugged me and you gave me, like, a kiss on the cheek after I went on stage. And you're like, wow, I see you. And you held me. And I feel like the same thing with Sam. And so I felt so drawn to you. And then this last year has been such a blessing because you've been coming to all of our events. And then I got to also attend one of your events.
Yes, thank you for that.
Which was, like, your, what, popping your event cherry?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, that was, like,
your bigger event that you've done.
For sure. I would say that.
And hearing you speak about human design the way that you speak, and I think I said, like, sent you a voice note afterwards and, like, reflected. I was like, you're meant to do this. Like, you do it so beautifully and you do it so well in groups. And so today we're going to dive into, like, learning more about you and also this essence of human design that you use with the world.
I love it. I'm here for it. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thanks so much. So I'd love to start with, like, tell us a little bit about how your, either your healing journey started or, like, when you started to come across human design.
Ooh.
Just to get to know you a little
bit more. Yeah, thank you. I love telling this story because the way I describe it is that human design found me. And it was perfect because it was at my 40th birthday. I gifted myself a retreat with a friend who did this for a living in Hood River. She had a beautiful home. And it's so funny because she called me and was like, Rosie, I need your birth information. And I was like, okay. She's like, and I need, like, your time of birth. It's very important. I was like, all right. And I'm like, what for? And she's like, you'll find out. And she had been hosting retreats for 9 years. And this was her first time ever introducing human design. And her and I both know, like, at a soul level that that was for me. I was knee deep in network marketing and had been for about 5 years prior. And when I learned my human design, I literally went down into my room and was, like, hiding because you're not really supposed to be on your phone at a retreat. And I called my business partner who we were doing network marketing together. And I was, like, crying. I didn't even call my husband first. I called my friend Gwen first. And I was actually in one of Gwen's events this morning and retold this story. So I loved, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm back, going back to the beginning. But I was like, Gwen, I found out why I can't keep up with you. Because I found out that I was a projector and that she is a generator. And even at that very basic understanding of, like, just barely knowing, and the woman who was sharing wasn't a human design expert. She just had learned and been introduced to hers and had enough basic information to help us. And I spent the whole weekend just, like, diving into the human design rabbit hole because I mean, like, I can pull up that feeling in my bones of just feeling so seen and understood. I have a tattoo of a lighthouse on my arm that I had 5 years before this knowing that I was a projector. And a lot of people assign that, either if you're not thinking of like a movie projector, many people in the human design space will describe projectors as lighthouses. Wow. And I was like, what? And then there's two heart centers in human design, and both of mine are defined. So my other tattoo says wholehearted, and that's like my brand. And I was like, how is it that this chart knows me so well? And that was it. Like, I anchor into that feeling with every single person I share human design with. I want them to feel seen. I want them to feel like they have the permission to be who they always thought they were, but either couldn't be with how they grew up, or, you know, just all the reasons we don't show up fully expressed. And it's sacred. It's sacred every time I pull up someone's design and I speak this truth over them. And now my business has changed. I was not a somatic trauma-informed human design specialist at the time. I was a network marketer. And I had this great idea to bring human design into network marketing. And, you know, I could see myself speaking on the stages and giving everyone the permission they need to be who they fully are. And one by one, as I started sharing this information with my downline, they all started leaving the network marketing space.
Like, oh, I'm not meant to do this.
Yes.
And also, was it because you were giving them their signs and they're like, oh, I shouldn't be here?
100%.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's why 100%. I feel the same way. I know a little about human design and a lot about astrology, and I wish more people could open to that, because I feel like I love what you said. I view astrology the same way. Mm-hmm. And I think human design and astrology just give people permission to be who they already know they are.
Yes.
So I always like say the same thing. Like, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Mm-hmm. This is all within you.
Yes.
And you're just like, it's almost like you get to give people permission. Yes. And awakening to who they always were. But yes. It's like, oh, that's why this happens, or that's why I struggle with this. Yeah. And it's the permission. And that's where I think people think, oh, no, it's like boxing me in. But I always tell people, it's like, it's opening you to all the possibilities that are for you. That.
Yeah, there is no box.
There's no box.
We're breaking the box of you were put in as a child.
Exactly.
Or, you know, in your career, in your marriage, and, you know, whatever capacity. And so now what my human design sharing looks like is getting the somatic tools that I've gathered along the way. When there's a resistance to me telling you how you're designed, that's where we pause and we stop in that space. And that was hard for me, because my design is one that is a lifelong learner, and I can stay in consuming, learning, buying, studying forever. So for me to slow down the information sharing, especially coming from a very fundamentalist Christian background, I overshared the information to try to prove, I promise this is great information. I promise this is going to help you. Yeah. Let me prove to you.
Yeah, this is not anti-God.
This is not anti-God. Yeah. Let me prove to you that I'm not fill in the blanks, however you would fill in the blanks. And then as I dove into somatics, I was like, okay, I can calm that little part of me down that needs to prove and strive. Mm. So my sessions look much different now than they did 6 years ago when human design found me. So
can you define what human design is and the different types, profiles?
Sure. So there is a strong astrology connection, and along with some Kabbalah, some Hindu chakra system, some quantum physics, and Chinese I Ching. It's a little bit of all of those woven into its own system. Mm-hmm. And so it is the part that everyone's like, okay, Rosie, is I'm like, I need your birthday, your birth time, and the city you were born in. And people are like, really? And I'm like, mm-hmm. In fact, I just had that conversation with my best friend's boyfriend. He called. I was like, I'll take this one. And I love that. I love the simplicity of only asking those three questions, because as I shared with a lifelong learner, when you take these like personality assessments and you have to go into your mind and answer questions about yourself, that's a a crazy place to be sometimes. So I love the simplicity of just asking three questions. Mm-hmm. And it prints off this chart. It differs a little bit from the regular chakra system, a seven chakra system, seven chakras. There are nine in human design. And they will be either defined, meaning colored in, if you get your chart, or they'll be undefined, which is the shape will be white. Mm-hmm. And the defined are the very specific, unique strengths you bring to send out into the world and to share with others. And the white is how you are to see and witness others. Mm. So I also love that about human design, again, in juxtaposition to other personality assessments, because when you are taking a personality assessment for yourself, like, you stay very self-centered, like, mm-hmm. what does this mean about me? What does this mean about me? But I also love to spend equally as much time as to, like, who is attracted to you, mm-hmm. and how are you designed to actually see and witness them? Mm-hmm. And so it's a beautiful system. I have loved learning about it. And there are five different design types. There's the generator and manifesting generator. I'm going to say those together because a lot of times they get split up. It's really important to understand that manifesting generators are actually generator types. Mm-hmm. Some people are like, oh, I'm a manifester. And I'm like, you have some manifester flavorings, but you're a generator. You're just a faster moving generator. And that's what you are, Sam. Is that correct? Mm-hmm. Manifesting yeah. generator? Okay. So I love to just clear that up because there's...
I didn't know that.
Oh,
no, yeah, I didn't know fun. That either. I mean, no, I don't think people knew that.
See, so it's
a great fact.
It's important to know.
No, I was like, I did not know. I mean, I thought like the manifesting generator had like these spurts more than anything. Mm. And like generators feels like they're on all the time.
Mm. So
that's how I've been learning it. So yeah. It's so good that you're like breaking this down.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll get to this part, but I'll drop it in now. Like, I've gotten very clear over the past couple of months that I love playing in the sandbox of the basics and the foundation of human design. Mm. It's a rabbit hole, ladies. Like,
I would imagine it's like astrology. There's like so many variations yes. and so many layers. Yes. And I just found out about a new type of astrology and I'm like, this is taking me down a whole nother rabbit hole. Yes. And I'm like, wait, this really resonates. So yes. yeah, I'm sure it's very similar.
It sounds very similar.
Which makes sense because we're very deep yes. layered beings. Yes. Like, we have our matrix yes. world and then we have our soul world mm-hmm. and then we have like the hidden layers. And so yeah. it makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you. It's exactly like that. Yeah. And we'll get to the profile lines too. I'm like jumping ahead, but let me just stay here. So the basics are... both are generator types. Both of you are here to, like, generators and manifesting generators are here to master the work that you're here to do. Mm. Manifesting generators usually skip steps to that mastery. And sometimes there's consequences that come with skipping steps. Mm. And sometimes not. It's not always like a bad thing. But the generator is here to just take a step by step approach to mastery. And they're here to just weigh and measure everything toward satisfaction or frustration. Mm. And it's important to not skip over the bad parts, the shadows, because they are just as informative, if not more so, than the good parts and the light. Mm-hmm. In fact, many people can connect with the negative parts of their design more clearly. They can access that. We're negatively biased, all these things. So I enjoy playing in the shadows of people's designs. I think that's a projector thing, which is what you are. So, they are here to do work. They're here to master the work they're doing. They're here. Yes, you are here to work. No, it's not supposed to suck.
Do you feel like manifesting generators, when they skip steps, have to go back
sometimes
they
do.
Pass over those steps they skipped?
I have noticed that sometimes they do. Mm. My favorite illustration is one of my own children. So I have a whole human design experiment happening in my home. I'm a projector. My husband's a manifester. Our two adult daughters are generators, both emotional generators, and our twin sons are non-emotional, sacral manifesting generators.
Oh my gosh.
So we have every design type except for the reflector represented in my home. And we have almost all of the profile lines represented in my home wow. as well. So, and several different inner authorities. So it's a situation, ladies. I'll tell you that. It's helpful to have this information.
Yeah.
But my favorite story to illustrate your, to just answer your question is during the pandemic, my boys were in first grade. So this like very important early literacy mm-hmm. grade. I'm also a teacher by trade and a private tutor when I'm not doing human design. So I was present for and grateful that I had the tools to be able to teach them during the pandemic. Many parents didn't have that. I was grateful to have that. But they sent home iPads. That's the way their school district handled the pandemic because, yeah, you know, everyone was doing the best they could. And my little son found the microphone button on the iPad. So instead of like having to figure out how to spell his responses, he was like, oh, I'll just click this little microphone and speak my response, which is brilliant.
Yeah, yeah, that's impressive.
But then he did not
learn how to spell.
Learn how to spell, you know. So I was like, you know, so we, you know, and but it was just perfect.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it looks like my other twin stacking up dishes to finish his chore, and then he drops all the dishes and they shatter into a million pieces. Like, but it's one less trip he one had to step. Make. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it comes with consequences, and sometimes they're greater than others, and it's wise to go back and revisit. But not all the time. Sometimes it's just, you're just very efficient, quick moving, and efficiency is the part of the manifesting generator that they borrow from the manifestor is what I, that's the similarities they have there. So we talked about generator types. They are either emotional or sacral. So they both have that trust your gut in decision making, but emotional generators or manifesting generators must ride their emotional wave to clarity, which takes time. So the manifesting generators I know who are emotional, that is a struggle. And a lot of times that's where we need to slow down.
I'm laughing because that's my husband.
Okay.
And I'm a sacral.
You're sacral. So you are quick and you have quick access and you're just like.
Sometimes I'm just like, okay. Gone.
And it's not for everything.
No, it's not.
But the big things. Like I say love, livelihood, and location. If you're making any decisions on those big three. Like who you're adding and subtracting from your life, where you're working and where you're living.
I'm like, this tracks.
Oh, see, and I love the laughter. Like, you have no that's idea. The best. Like, I tracks. Do. I have an idea. I do.
Oh, well, yes. And of I can, course like, you feel do. It.
She's like, I know. She's like, I already know.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's like, duh.
No, and also, it's just, you know, it's, that's the part where I usually have to be like, okay, let's pause. Mm-hmm. Let's make peace with this emotional inner authority.
Yeah.
Because they're quick, their body and their wants to figure things out quickly.
What I love so much about this, like taking it to the personal development space, and as someone that is in somatics or feelings or things like that, like there is this like pressure to feel a lot. And then there's this pressure of like, for some people, like I need to make a decision right now. Mm-hmm. And you're telling people to slow down.
Yes.
And to like wait.
Yes.
The other thing too is like when you're thinking about feelings and emotions, when you're speaking your truth or the authenticity, sometimes you're like, well, this is my truth right now. And so you start making decisions from that truth, but it's emotionally driven.
Yeah.
And to break it down, like it's so important for us to like, for in these types, you're saying, wait until the emotion passes down so that you can find and access your truth.
Yes.
Because that feels like true in the moment.
Yes. And it's important to track your wave, which takes time, patience, self-compassion is usually very helpful for all of these processes. And that is the part where I really have to slow down. So many of my clients are just so hard on themselves. And I've had to learn self-compassion myself. But that's the it's like you are worth waiting for. Your clarity is worth waiting for. Like, wait and see what happens when you allow yourself to wait for your clarity. Because if you make that snapshot decision at the high of a wave when everything is clicking and everything's firing and you're like, yes, full body, yes. And then you crash on your wave and that decision was made from the height, but you were not ready for that decision at the low. You're right. Like you need to feel both so that your nervous system from a regulated, non-emotionally charged spot from either the high or the low is like, this is a yes because I felt it here. and I have the capacity to move through it in the low also. So now it's a yes because I have felt both.
That takes love that. That was so good. Say it louder. I have also a lot of friends who are emotionally divine. So
50% the world is emotional.
Oh, well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So much sense.
50%.
Well, it was interesting too because, you know, we've been together 10 years and in the beginning his MO was to like shut down. Mm. So there was all the emotion was going on, but it wasn't shared. And I think in that moment, I'd be like, what's wrong, you know? And it was that same thing. Like, he was trying to process and understand even what was going on. And so he would go take a walk and, like, come back. And it took years of conversation to figure out that that was what was happening.
Yeah.
And now because also I've learned enough. I love listening to this because I'm learning so much.
Yay.
But, like, I knew enough to know he was emotional. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, anytime he's like, yes, or whatever it is, or he's upset about something, I'm like, okay, well, let's just, like, calm down, feel this out. Like, it's going to be a minute.
Let's check back in tomorrow.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah.
And so it helps because I'm just like, if there's an emotional decision to be made, I'm not like, what do you feel right now?
Yeah.
I'm like, let's think about this.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it's just once you learn that this is your way, it unlocks so much. And when your partner understands this about you, that unlocks so much.
It's like you said, giving
for your kids. For your kids.
You're giving permission. Sure. That's always been the biggest gift with anything like this. Like I did this for the Enneagram and just being able to see people differently and being like, whoa, I understand what you need in such a different way. Mm-hmm. You get to love them better.
Yes.
And I think that's even like the biggest gift. Like, yes, it's for ourselves and it's such a freedom, but it's also so lovely.
Yeah.
To be able to see someone so beautifully and be like, you are perfect as you are.
Yeah.
I'm not going to project what I think you should be doing onto you because a lot of people do.
Yeah. And I will tell you, no, 100%. Like, I have all of this information and I still have to return to it in those moments where my knee-jerk reaction. For sure. So, for instance, I am non-emotional. I'm splenic. And I don't know if we'll have time to get into all of that. There's so many different layers. We haven't even talked about the other design types. But
we'll get there.
I will tell you, like, my oldest, her emotional wave is when she hits a low point, it's really, really low. And just so you can understand now the mechanics between having a defined emotional solar plexus, as my daughter has, and me having an undefined as a splenic projector, I feel her emotional state even deeper than she does. Mm. So then I try to rush her through that process and I've had finally realized so that I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Because I'm so uncomfortable. Yeah. And so I have had to learn and get embodied myself to allow her to have her process without me interfering and without me trying to rush her process along. And that's been one of my greatest faith walks is like holding her as capable of going through her own emotional process and without me interjecting, trying to rush it. So it has changed a lot of how I parent. But I also still,
human.
Yes, yeah. I'm human and the projections still happen. And you know, all the things, like, especially because you come with the skill sets you observed, and that's a whole other conversation.
Well, you're being mirrored all the challenges that you're learning in yourself, because it sounds like every single one of your kids and your husband are opposite to you or, like, contrasting.
For sure.
So, yeah, I mean, they're all your mirror to
thank you.
Hold that thank in yourself.
Thank you for saying so. That. That's exactly what's happening in my home.
Yeah.
So this information is helpful. I have to remember to resource into it and trust the process because my knee-jerk reaction is to fix, to lighten, to repair, to, you know, and like right now.
I think that's very relatable. Like when you're not an emotional decision maker and someone else is, you're like, it's okay. Like, how can I make you feel better about this? Yeah. Or I think that's a natural instinct, especially as a woman and a mother.
And a mother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't want you to feel sad.
Yeah. Thank you. And the splenic projector is like super dialed into any danger. Mm. Like it's all safety and security is the theme and fear. It activates through fear. And like how do we need to fix this? And what needs to be done to move through this and to be safe and secure again? So then I've had to work on emotions are not dangerous. I'm just going to pause there for a minute. And And again, like the autonomy of like holding all of my family members capable of moving through their process in their way. Yeah. So then we talked about generators, and they are either emotional or sacral. And then projectors are 20% of the population. So generators and manifesting generators make up 73% of the population.
Wow.
That's
why. So that's why you were just like, everybody, we were just talking to Alexis and she's like, everybody's a manifesting generator. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
They are. And then the 20% are projectors, and there are so many different inner authorities. We don't have to go through all of them, but the brilliance of projectors having so many different inner authorities is to be able to guide and direct the 73% of the population who needs help not getting burnt out, staying in their satisfaction lane, and being aware of frustration when it comes along. And because we primarily are here to guide and direct the generator, the sacral beings of the world. And so we have many different inner authorities, so we can see and help in our own unique way. Yeah, so projectors, I'm a little partial because I am one. I think they're pretty rad. You're one, so that's fun. I always love meeting other projectors. And Corinne and I just had like a really lovely conversation, I think last week. And it was just like, every design type has its burden, its cross to bear. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, the big one for projectors is we don't see ourselves as clearly as we see others. I mean, we can see others so clearly.
I mean, it makes sense.
It's our superpower.
Yeah, you're projecting. So
right.
Yeah.
So we shine into the shadows, into the storms, and we're not here to do the doing. That's why the lighthouse illustration is so wonderful, is like we're not towing people into harbor. We're not out rescuing. We're just lighting the way, and you get your own ass into safe harbor.
Good luck.
You do your own work. We'll tell you what needs to be done, but then you do it. Mm-hmm. We are not here to do the doing or do it for you. So yeah, that's the projector. And then the manifestors are only about 8% of the population. So now we're getting into like the unicorn types. They're just so rare. They are also non-sacral beings. So they're not here to do the doing. They're here to inform and initiate the doing. And they can be either splenic, emotional, or ego manifested. So we only have three. We can go back and talk about the projector authorities if you want. I was like, now I'm talking about all of them. I may as well. So we'll rewind a little bit. And so projectors can be emotional. So that's why 50%. Now you're seeing like generators, manifesting generators, projectors, and manifestors can be emotional. You don't have to be a generator to be emotional. Mm-hmm. You can be every type except for a reflector and be emotional. Mm-hmm. So that's also fascinating to just think about those mechanics. So projectors can be emotional. They can be splenic. They can be mental projectors. Mm-hmm. They can be self-projected projectors or ego projectors. So there's five inner authorities. And each of those has their own way of guiding and directing.
What are each of you?
So I'm splenic.
Oh, right.
I'm mental.
You're a mental projector. So again, so Corinna has a lot more openness in her design than I do in mine. And
meaning white?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Undefined.
Undefined. Yeah. So there are all these little terms, and human design has its own language for sure. So my inner authority works on intuition. And as I mentioned, I gave you a little teaser, is it's very in tune with scanning for danger. And being very connected, closely connected to fear. As I've been doing my own deep work, I've realized like I am a very hypervigilant, highly sensitive, easily triggered person. And when I realized like this is what's right about me, I'm actually never going to be like fully regulated all the time. There is a fine line between when I go into rumination and you do lose like the logical part of your brain when you're triggered, but I will always have some level of
hypervigilance,
always. And I was like, whoa. So I've been sharing a lot about that. It feels
good to like accept that almost.
Yeah. I mean, especially then there's a part of me that relaxes and regulates. Yeah,
you're like, oh, wait, now I can take a breath. Oh, my God. Because, you know, all the pressure that's out there to be like, I have to be regulated or I can only make decisions for a regulated place or just constantly working back to regulation.
Yes.
That also causes
its own hypervigilance. Its own
hypervigilance. Yes. Like, well, shit, I'm hypervigilant and I'm being hypervigilant and I can't stop being hypervigilant and I'm mad at myself for being hypervigilant and I'm upset and then I'm holding all the shame and guilt for being hypervigilant. And you're like, oh, it just seems like you got a lot of acceptance.
I'm supposed to basically just described my whole life.
And I think what's so helpful about human design is it gives you permission, like you were talking about, to be your most authentic self, to be seen as who you are, and not to be fixed or to be changed that you should be like this. And this is why I love that I think you found so many gifts from human design because in us and other people, she's like, ah, this makes so much sense. And just the acceptance.
Yes.
And the validation of like, this is true and that's okay.
Yes.
And you don't have to change it. Right? You're like, what?
I know.
There's a world that exists like that.
Yes.
And you get to live that.
For sure.
And through the lens of human design.
Yeah. And I mean, I was scared to tell this story because like I call it my splenic awakening just happened in February. I have been sharing human design for 6 years and like, and honestly, like my inner authority, which again is the most basic important part. I was like, oh, my joke is that my alter ego is a 3-6 emotional manifesting generator. So like the exact opposite of what I am actually, because I was like, oh, I can multitask like a boss. I've got 4 kids. I work. I do network marketing. I do human design. I blah, 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 blah. And I go through things through trial and error and figure things out along the way. And I'm very emotional. And so I'm just going to like, I identify as my alter ego more. And then, like, even as I was going through my somatic training, I definitely held that picture of, like, oh, I am so dysregulated all the time. What does that mean about me? And I made it mean something wrong about me. And then in February, my 18-year-old, who's away at college, came home secretly she was supposed to go to a concert with her older sister. And she didn't go to the concert because she was so sick. And then she told her sister, like, come and get me after the concert. I have to go home. And Bree was like, we got to call mom and tell her. And she's like, no, I'll just surprise her. So I had no idea she was coming home. You know, we were doing FaceTiming and I'm like, go to the clinic, take, you know, use these supplements, use your diffuser, do all these things. And then you just expect that they're doing all of those things. Well, and she was, but she was so sick. Friday morning, she pops her head up from the couch. And at first I was like, what are you doing here? And then like, she was like, hey mom, like in her super sick voice. And I immediately was like, get dressed. We're going to the emergency room right now. And my husband was home too. He's a manifester. We were starting to talk about them. They are very powerful beings. It's a blessing that there's only 8% of them because when they speak, it is. And so it is. And so he was like, let's just wait a minute, have her take some ibuprofen, just pump the brakes. And I was like, no, I'm taking her right now. And I do not speak to my husband that way, but I was so embodied with this is what needs to happen right now. And within hours, she was in the ICU. And her lymph nodes were so inflamed that she couldn't exhale properly. Whoa. So her blood, her carbon dioxide level was like, they said like a 98-year-old man with COPD.
Oh my gosh. Because
she couldn't exhale.
Get the exhale out. Yeah. So it was poisoning her from
literally.
The inside.
So, damn. And every doctor that was just constant, like she's an 18-year-old soccer player. She, you know, like. They were like, you are too young to be this sick. And I was just like, but for me, I needed that outside validation. Like nobody knew this was what was happening inside of me, but I was like, I fucking knew
that
my daughter needed to go.
And you knew in your spleen.
In my spleen. And that it's a horribly traumatic situation. And also it needed for me. It needed to be that intense for me to fully trust myself. Mm. And now I can somatically tap back into that feeling. And that, so that's what led me to hypervigilance is a part of me. I can use it. I can work with it. I can be grateful for it. Mm-hmm. And then a couple months later, I had another situation with my oldest. And again, like my spleen had a lot to say. And so I didn't hesitate this time, and it was needed. That was actually a situation where I had to insert myself. Mm-hmm. And I was just, I stayed in hypervigilance. So I've had to learn, like, I've had to use my tools to like downregulate after something is serious. But yeah, that just happened in February and then in like May. And because they were so close together, I was like, oh, this is what it feels like to get that splenic intuitive hit.
You knew because you had experienced it.
Yes. And now I can recognize it. I can access it. So I don't wish that those kinds of crazy situations. Yeah. So now I'm, my place that I see now with clarity because of what I went through is like, let me help you connect with that in the regulated moments. So you don't necessarily have to go through something like I did to trust yourself.
Yeah.
So that's my little splenic awakening story.
I love this.
Yeah, I think we left off with manifestors, but you got a little...
Talk about projectors.
Yes, so manifestors are... they are here to inform and initiate. They have a motor to the throat is the way we... The mechanics we talk about it in human design. And so they have the energy to say what needs to be said to get the ball rolling. But they're not here to do everything that's needed, like what's needed to be initiated. They're very powerful. I love working with manifestor women, helping them to get their nervous system ready to be seen and heard because... manifestors are here to get shit done. So let me help you. Let me make sure you feel safe to be seen and safe to share, safe to speak. That's like my first questions I ask. And if they're like, oh no, I'm like, oh, buckle up, sister, here we go. I've noticed that manifestor men have a harder time being in the humility part, like the receiving part, because they also need to be informed. They need to give information, but they also need to receive. So of course the masculine needs help with the feminine receiving, and then the feminine manifestors usually have a hard time being in their masculine of like
putting themselves out there
and putting their information out into the world. So that is what I've noticed in my years of sharing human design is balancing out the giving and receiving and the masculine and feminine with manifestors. And then last but not least, our reflectors. There's one that always goes to Erin. Oh, you met Elizabeth. You know Elizabeth. She came to your events. I was like, you guys have to come. You have to come to these events. They're beautiful humans. They have all nine centers undefined. So they are taking in information, energy, all the things from all the people, including, we haven't even talked about the transits, which is like your specialty. That has an impact on the design chart as well. So they have to wait 28 days to make their big decisions because they need to go through a full lunar cycle to have the moon light up different parts of their design. And there will be a consistent pattern that they can track. And it's sort of like cycle syncing, where you in an ideal human design reflector situation, you will have tracked your lunar cycle for several months and seen like when your throat lights up. Those days you are here to be more vocal. You might be a generator for 2 or 3 days. Like those are the days you want to plan on getting more things done. Like you may be emotional 3 or 4 days. So they're already hopefully used to waiting to make big decisions, but also like you're gonna have a lot of emotional things to work on. And sometimes these things have actual like physiological connections to our body where you're more tired or more energized or more at peace or more tormented. And to just be with what is, that's the definition of a reflector, to just be with what is on that day.
Some of the things I've heard about reflectors is that they also struggle to know what's theirs.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's because they're ever evolving and ever changing. There's actually like not very many days where they have all nine centers undefined because of the moons, because of just astrological trend. I mean, there's so many things happening astrologically, like age of Aquarius, like Pluto, Saturn, like these planets that never move are all moving.
Yeah, all changing signs. Yes! They're all changing signs.
The ones that never move are always moving.
They're all moving right now.
Yeah, they're all changing from fire and air, or from earth and water to fire and air.
That is, I mean, you
there's can. There's a lot of shit happening.
There's
right
a
now.
Lot.
Yeah. It's funny because the woman who introduced me to astrology, that like opened the, because astrology found me too.
Yes.
She's the reflector.
I love that.
And now that I think about, because I followed her for a long time before, or like, not a long time, but like I followed her, everything you're saying, I'm like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Because she's very consistent on social media, and that's exactly how she shows up. Like every day is a different, I'm like, haven't seen that side of this person. Like, haven't seen this. It was interesting to see. Yeah, you just defined her to a T.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. I know of one reflector who does astrology. I'm curious if it's the same person. And she lives like on a farm in Oregon. Okay. And she,
but I think she does what's her human name? Design. But.
Oh, I can't think of her name. I'll look it up. Oh. But she, I mean, what a beautiful choice of a career for a reflector, because the harvest is so connected to the seasons and the moons and all, like the moon cycle and all of that. So to answer your question, Corinna, it's just a showing up of who you are in that moment without making it mean anything bad about you or good about you. That's the thing is you have, it is a surrendered life of just trusting what is in the moment. Mm-hmm. And the way I come at it when I have the privilege of working with a reflector is ensuring that they have a resourced way of releasing energy at the end of the day. Because even though they may not have all nine undefined, they will have seven undefined. Maybe, you know, you always have to have like at least two connected. So they more than likely have like seven undefined and two are defined. But sometimes they'll have a lot of definition, but it only lasts 3 days. Like the lunar cycle is every 2 to 3 days, the moon changes phases.
Yeah.
Is that about right? 3?
Yeah, 2 to 3.
So there you go. Now you've got opened up.
This just makes, I feel like I understand this person so much more now, because that's how she showed up in school too. Like teaching astrology was like, this is, because I took her class live. Mm-hmm. Now it's, I think she does it evergreen now, but she was just like, this is how I feel today. And this is what we're talking. Like that's very much how she was.
Good for her.
Yeah, she's a great teacher.
I mean, yes, I love that.
And she knew her human designs.
Wonderful.
I don't know how well, but I think.
Sure. And I mean, like it's perfect that she's also tracking the transits, because that is her lived experience, is being very closely connected to, because the transits will impact your design for 3 days without anyone else impacting it. But then like to then like revisit your question again, like one, I have 6 centers defined as a projector, which is sort of rare to have that much definition. So like when I'm with Elizabeth, my token reflector friend, like she's got a lot more energy when she's with me. Then,
because you're giving her,
because she's her taking
energy.
Mine in. So it is a great question. Generators. Yes, it's a great question. How do you know what's yours? That is the question of, oh my, and it's unfair for Elizabeth to like pull everybody's charts and just, but to be like aware of like, oh my word, all of a sudden I have more fear, or I have more like. My spidey sense are going crazy, but that's probably my spleen doing what it does. Like, and to just, it's not wrong for her, but to know like, I'm not going to have this all the time, to not be too attached. Like,
that's the biggest thing I think I'm hearing is like the unattachment that she has to practice.
Yes.
I know another reflector really well, and she was always talking about that. And I know another, like, I know a couple of reflectors. Actually, I know three.
Wow.
I know a few.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah, they're so very rare. I know a few of them, and that was always their practice of like being able to come back, or like they didn't know who they were going to be around. Like when they first learned about it, there was a little bit of fear. They're like, well, I don't want to go pick up your juju. Like, what if I don't want that right now?
Well, for sure.
And so I can get that.
Yeah.
And so the unattachment, or the being with, and literally just being with.
Yeah.
Feels like constantly coming back to that.
Your share just reminded me that I talked about satisfaction and frustration with the generators, manifesting generators. These are the basics that are just so important and will also answer your question. Projectors are here for success and need to be aware of what's bringing bitterness. Mm-hmm. The bitterness also connects to the very basics, like we're here to be seen, we're here to guide and direct, not the whole world, only the people that want our guidance. Because when we dial in, I mean, especially like you bring such presence, friend, like people need to be ready for that. Mm-hmm. And then it helps us not waste our limited energy on people who don't want it.
Mm-hmm. So that was a whole lesson in my life.
Girl, same.
Oh, you have no idea. I gave too
much.
I do have
an idea.
This is where all my friendship breakups. This is where all my friendship breakups came from.
Sure,
you know,
I do. I know. Good. So the success and bitterness, and then for the manifester, it's peace or anger. Like, talk about two opposing energies. Like, they're here to inform and initiate, to create peace. But when they are not informed or informing, and that efficiency is gummed up, anger will come up in its place. And then for the reflector, I love the definition of the reflector. They're here to be surprised and delighted.
Oh.
I know. Isn't that precious?
Love that. So sweet.
Or disappointed.
Yeah. What's the opposite?
That's the opposite. So like when you were saying like, oh my gosh, I'm absorbing everybody, I don't want their bad juju, that's the disappointment side. Mm. But isn't it just a choice to just be like, wow, look at all this passion you're bringing. Mm. Look at all of this energy you're bringing. Like, wow, you know, like surprised and delighted at how different we all are. Mm-hmm. And how amazing it is to have 3 days of consistent voice or consistent emotional intelligence. And like, and then when they are experiencing these different things lit up in their body graph, they can see and witness and be surprised and delighted by others. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to know. It's nice to know that you have access to both, and that both are here to be used well, not mm-hmm. to just be like stay in the doldrums of the disappointment, the anger, the bitterness, and the frustration. It's like to know like, oh, those feelings and sensations in my body are here to inform me and help me move through my life well on how I'm designed.
And what was it for generators and manifesting generators?
Either satisfaction.
Or unsatisfaction.
Or frustration.
Frustration.
Yeah. And it ties again to the basic parts of like generators are here to work.
Right.
They're here to do. No, it's not supposed to suck and be frustrating all the time. It's not that you can ever have it, but like every ping of frustration is here to just help you be like, okay. And so you go back to the other basic part, and I'm like, this would have been nice if I had just said it all at the same time, but I'm just trusting the process.
It's all working beautifully.
We're on a journey.
Thank you. So generators are here to respond. Yes, they're here to work. Yes, they have the energy to work. No, they're not here to do everybody's work for them or do all the work around them all the time. It's here to be in pure response. So when you print off your human design chart, it will say generator, it will say sacral or emotional, and then it will say wait to respond.
What's an example of responding?
So let me think. Generators work best with yes, no questions. You can try this with Sam. So we love open-ended questions because we're like, tell us everything. then she needs, she
I asked her, I need the what rest is it, of a yes or a no? And I'm like, she's like, it's a baby. She's like, I don't know. I'm undecided. And I'm like, I feel like you just choose one, then you'll find your no. Mm. I'm always giving her that one conversation that we had. And I was like, if you choose a yes, it could always end up being a no. But you'll know by choosing a yes or choosing a no.
That is one way. Absolutely.
It was just an idea because she's always kind of living in this in between.
I'm going to help you biohack Sam right now.
Okay, great.
Biohack away.
I love the profile lines. And if we have time to go into them, I would love it because I love them. And because now you know these things. Okay, Sam's here to respond. Okay, yes, no. Okay, but sometimes she says maybe. So then I like to move to the next one. So the five. That's true. The five is the solution finder. Mm-hmm. So if there's a problem, Sam will activate with a solution. If she's not activating that way, her first line, I'm a 1-4. So you're a 5-1. You have the 1-2. And this is her subconscious programming and processing, the second number in the profile. The one. So if something inside of her is like, hold on, I'm telling you it's her first line that needs a firm foundation of either more information, more insight. She needs a somatic, I'm going to speak your language. She needs a somatic secure supply of information and resource to know it's a full body yes. Her body will not say yes until she has that foundation of information.
She needs more information.
She needs more information. The one also has a shadow of always wanting information. So that is when, your projector friend can tell you when you're in shadow and you are just, because we can be a bottomless pit of information.
Yeah.
And it can go.
Are you a 5-1?
I'm a 1-4.
Oh, you're the opposite.
So the one I'm is the first. Opposite. Yeah, opposite. So first. I lead with needing a lot of information.
Yeah.
And then being splenic, I also have to feel safe in my body. Mm-hmm. But you got a little sample of my fourth line. It stretches all the way to San Clemente. And this happens to me all the time.
Where you meet someone and they know someone or you're all connected.
Yes. When I got my very first human design reading, not the one from the retreat, but like a printed one. I just literally picked. I didn't know anyone. I just picked someone. And the thing she said where I was like, how does she know this about me? She's like, you can literally travel across the country and never stay in a hotel. You'd rather sleep on a friend's couch than go to a hotel room. And I'm like, how did she know that about me? I mean, it's like sometimes it drives my kids crazy, but I'm like, oh, I've got a friend that lives there. And they'll be like, of course you do, Mom. Or I also have the superpower of making every stranger a friend. I have a bracelet that says strangers are just friends we haven't met yet.
That's awesome. We all need that. That should be a sweatshirt.
I love it. Let's do it. Let's make the sweatshirts. So we've talked about three of them. Do you mind if I finish up the other three profile lines?
Sure.
So with the first line is the foundation. It's a house analogy, and it requires a foundation of information, and it needs what it needs to feel secure in its decisions. They are also the resources for other people. So it's both. We need to be resourced, and we are also the resource of for people. The second line they're just naturally gifted, but they do have like a hermit flavoring where they're in the first floor of a house. It's night and the shades are open. So everyone can see in, they can see how beautifully you've decorated your house. They can see you dancing naked and man, you are putting on a show. You really know your dance moves. How did you learn how to dance like that? And then you go over to the piano and you start playing piano and you have your own painted artwork on the walls. Like, everyone's like, you're so gifted.
Oh, yeah, those people are.
They can't see their own giftedness. They have to be called out, but they don't want to be called out because they're hermits. Mm-hmm. So they have this like introverted, extroverted dance. Mm-hmm. But I love meeting, I have a little design envy for second lines because they are just natural. It just flows naturally out of them.
I think Elsie's a two.
I think she is too. Mm-hmm.
I think she's a two in her profile. I just don't know what it is.
We'll have to find out.
She's the first person that's coming.
And that's kind of mine. So naturally gifted as a healer.
I think she's a 2-4.
Oh, Elsie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and she attracts these insane experiences. Mm-hmm. Like one that comes to mind when she's my longest friend. I think I was in high school. She was in a bookstore. She's like in her late 20s, early 30s. She's mm-hmm. in a bookstore, and a man walks up to her, and she's never met him.
Yeah.
And he goes, Shell, that's her name, I have some things I want to tell you. Do you want to hear them? And he sat down and told her all these insane things about her life and her purpose and what she was here to do. And then he's like, okay, have a wonderful day, and walked away. And she like went to go find, like, thank him, gone.
Yeah. But
she has experiences like that all the time. These like insane, energetic,
yeah.
psychic experiences, yeah. but she's a hermit.
Yes.
And I'm like, you have to share your gifts with yes. the world. And all these messages have come in her life to tell yeah. her that, but she constantly has to be reminded.
Yes.
Over and over and over.
Yes. And that is the cross she bears being yeah. too. She has all this grace and ease, but no belief in that she yeah. has these gifts.
And so much creativity. And yes. like, yeah, she's so gifted.
They have to be drawn out, and she has to trust her people. What I tell my second line people is open a note on your phone, call it my friend's reflections of me. And just start paying attention to how people affirm you, how they see the people you know, love, and trust.
Yeah.
Believe them when they say these things about you. Believe them. They know. So the three moves from the front living room with the shades open, and it's night, so the lights are on, but so you can't see out, but everyone can see in. That's mm-hmm. the two. And then the third line is in the kitchen experimenting, like cutting their finger, burning their fingers, burning the food, putting too much salt. They're just experimenting. They have no recipe. They're not following a recipe. They're just throwing things in, and it's, you know, it's like Ratatouille. It's just it's a
snake.
You're just
yeah, that makes sense.
Trial and erroring everything. But you heal quickly, you learn your lessons well, and you're here to spare the rest of us the finger cutting and the finger burning and the ruining of the dinner, because you've already done it. You've learned these really hard lessons. You've embodied the lesson, and now we're all just sitting and waiting to hear, what insights did you learn? So I start with my third line humans with, do you have a self-compassion practice? Because if you are here, I'm here to tell you, you are designed to go through life through trial and error. So please be kind to yourself while you're going through it.
I'd be so curious if that's a lot of Scorpio North nodes, because that is like the path of the Scorpio North node is like burning shit to the ground and rebuilding. It's like constant death and rebirth.
Yes.
They tend to have a lot of hard lessons.
Yes.
I think it's the hardest North node, because it's just a constant release. You're learning to detach from everything, mm-hmm. but also you're learning how to have self-worth and value.
Yes.
So it sounds very similar to that.
They're like, I see them as Phoenix.
Yes,
like,
exactly. That's Scorpio, the Phoenix rising from the ashes.
Rise from the ashes, literally.
Again and again and again over, and again.
And they don't, I mean, you don't ever skip that step. Like,
I'm like, sorry, your soul chose this, I promise.
I know, I say this, I try. And so that's why I'm like, let's find a way for you to laugh and learn.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's so one of the, I mean, because laughter is good medicine. Mm-hmm. And if you are here on this path, that is going to be more challenging. Mm-hmm. I also tell them, like, Titanium, play that song. Like, you are bulletproof. You are fire resistant. You will rebuild and be reborn again and again. The rest of us are not.
They're the strongest people. Yeah. I mean, they're just like the shit they've gone through. Yeah. And then they're so strong.
Yes. So that is the third line. And then the fourth line is the stairs that connect the bottom floor to the top floor. So they're here to be the connectors, the networkers, the referral-based business practice, you know, like it's just, you know, someone everywhere. We talked about the four, so I won't spend much more time on that one. And then I told you a little bit about the five. It is heretic energy. So like savior energy, but martyred for your message. It is not going to land with everyone, but the people it does land with, their lives will be changed and transformed. So I tell my fifth,
basically.
So my fifth line friend, mm-hmm. the medicine I always give my fifth line people is boundaries bring joy, because people will project all of their problems onto you because they know you are capable of fixing them. So find a way to get paid for that. Tell everyone.
It's hard not to laugh.
I mean, it is like laughter, right?
You're making me laugh. Yeah.
And also, like, be equally as clear of what you do not do. Mm. You will never be able to, like, offset what everyone thinks you can do, but as much as you can, have boundaries around when you work. Have a hard stop for your day. Be clear of what you offer, and as much as you can, be clear of what you don't do. I do not take calls at night. I do not take calls on the weekend. I have holidays off. Whatever that is.
Yeah.
So that people can at least be like, oh, that's right. She told me she doesn't answer my calls at 3 a.m. when I have a problem. I know, but Sam, I know you can solve it. Like, and you probably can.
Yeah.
But boundaries bring joy. Repeat after me. Boundaries bring joy.
I just laugh because one day Austin, I think I had like four friends voice note me.
Yes.
Things.
Yes.
And Austin's like, this is getting out of control. Like, stop. Yeah. Like, you can't, because it does, it's draining after. Yeah. I mean, you can, of course, like, you give can. Advice and hold the space. But mm-hmm. Yeah, he's so funny. He's just like his yeah. little scorpionic energy was like, this is too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Enough already. Enough and I will already. Also tell you that none of us, now that we've talked about the third line, none of us are exempt from going through, especially entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. without trial and error. Mm-hmm. All of us go through a trial and error. So even though you're like, well, I have to figure things. Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it's like, okay, now I know the fourth call is one too many.
Yeah.
Because now I'm depleted. That's the way you exactly also stay. It. Is this no longer sad? Like, because it is going to be satisfying for you to help your friends find solutions.
Yeah, it does feel good.
Until it doesn't.
Until it doesn't.
And then it doesn't.
And then it really doesn't. And yeah. then it's and then frustrating.
You're frustrated.
Yeah. And you're depleted.
Here's the frustrated.
Yeah. So that's what I mean. It's all just here to help instruct and inform.
Yeah.
And then the sixth line is the roof. So the fifth line is on the top floor, but they're out hanging out the window and just telling everybody what to do and solving everyone's problems. They've got a higher perspective. And then the sixth line is, we say, on the roof. So they actually do always have a higher perspective. Mm. The thing that's fascinating about the sixth line is they go through a third line experience in their first 30 years of life.
Yes, I did.
There you go.
Oh, you're a sixth line? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm and 4-6.
There you go. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
So you had to go through it, embody your lessons. And then I'm an early literacy specialist, so I love the very hungry caterpillar as mm-hmm. the illustration. It's like you start as the caterpillar, you eat everything, and you get really sick in those first 30 years. And then you eat a nice green leaf, and you make your cocoon. You turn into complete mush, reorient your life. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you cannot make sense. It's all just goop from 30 to 50. But you do have the insights you gained going through those first 30 years. And then from 50 on, you are just this wise role model is what we say. It's role model energy. But you carry that potential in all three phases. It is a calming and a settling and an emerging from the cocoon, a beautiful butterfly that takes time to percolate, develop. But even like three of my four children have six lines. Mm-hmm. I'll just pause there for effect. But it's nice for me to know. Like, that is probably my number one thing that changed in my parenting was me stopping saying, like, why do you have to learn the hard way? I used to say that to my oldest all the time before I found this information. Why can't you just trust me? Why do you have to learn the hard way? And now I say, what did you learn from this experience? Because that's the part I'm like, let's let that land and anchor. You're going to need that wisdom later on in life. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm grounded and can show up resourced, that those are the types of conversations I can have with my children. When they're in it, sometimes I don't still handle it well. I'm getting better, though. So I love the profile lines because they, we want to talk about permission slips. Mm. It really helps to show up empowered, clear, and you open your mind to all the possibilities. And I love that you're a 4-6 and you're a 5-1. Like, four of the six profile lines are addressed between the two of you. Mm. You have the energy. You give the guidance. Like, it's beautiful. And I've benefited from being a part of your group and community. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yes, of course you have a fourth line. You hold impeccable space for people. And you shine in a group setting, which is not always the case. Sometimes group dynamics can be very, I mean, group dynamics are very challenging, no matter what. Mm-hmm. But like, you shine in them because, mm-hmm. and I feel like I do too. Like, so I've been teaching human design, but I've really been embodying my own. So for me to use my first line and to stay in that foundational information, I mean, look, we've probably gone over time and we're just barely scratching the surface, but the basic things are the most important things. Mm-hmm. Everything else gets filtered through your type, your strategy, your authority, and your profile lines. And then the rest is just gravy. But if you're doing those basic things and showing up in those ways, every other part of your design clicks into place. And a lot of people try and like skip to their digestion or their variables and they're this and they're that and all these other things. And it's like, how are you here to be? Mm. How are you here to make decisions? And how do you know if you're on the right path? Your strategy and your authority and your type and your profile lines. So I'm just hanging out there and creating small groups to practice safely together.
I love this so much. Yeah, I feel like we could listen to you for hours. Yeah. I'm like, I want more. This is why we're going to get a session with her. I want one myself. Yeah. But everyone can get sessions with you because you just, the love, one thing I just want to reflect back is like what I've told you so many times, like, you know this so well and you make it so easy for people to understand.
Oh, thank you.
And you have stories and things that just like, you talk to someone, obviously you see people, but like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You see them so clearly through human design and it's really beautiful to be a part of that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Every time we experience, I've gotten to experience you multiple times, but I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. You're an so amazing fun. Teacher.
Thank
yeah.
you.
And you have the teacher energy too.
I do.
Which teacher energy is so important because if you can be a good teacher and you can explain something so beautifully, it's going to really unlock for people.
Yeah. And that's, even as a teacher, I stay in the like early literacy playground of teaching kids how to read and the basic of like number sense. I'm just like, oh yeah, I totally just do all the basic foundational things that whatever I'm doing. And to let that be okay, that I'm not in the deeper aspects of human design.
Like, I mean, I feel the same way about astrology. Sure. Like, I tell people, just know your north node. Like, even you speaking go. Into her sixth line, she's a Sag north node. She's here to become the wise sage. Throughout her life, she's becoming the wise sage that is the leader and, like, the guide for other people. But she has to figure out that for herself first. Like,
I love it.
I mean, obviously, it's based in astrology, so it makes sense that it's coming up.
For sure.
But I tell people, like, just know that, and you're already, like, ahead of the game of what you're here to, like, embody and learn. Like, you don't – you could go way deep into, like, this degree at this time, at this second, and this transit. But, like, is it going to do you any good if you can't understand just the basics of –
yes.
Aren't the basics the most important, though?
Yes.
In my,
like, I would say every,
spoken like a first line. Yes.
Yes.
Like, at the end of the
here,
day,
let me solve your problems. Just go back to the basics. Beginner in mind. You don't need to go all... Yeah, you don't need to go down into the depths of that unless you're, like, already solidified in the basics.
Yeah.
And we always come back to the basics. Like, I think about anything, any life experience, anything that's going on, it's like, let's just go back to the basics. As simple as, like, let's just breathe, you know?
Literally.
Or, like, even in somatics, it's not this whole ordeal. It's just, like, what are the basics? How do I connect to what I'm feeling?
I know.
How do I work through that? You know,
like, all the devices that have been created to help us manage our nervous system. I'm like, just take your damn shoes off and put your feet in the grass. Yeah. And as Karina would say, breathe.
Breathe.
It's free. Or just do the basics. Yeah. Like, this is where I get caught up with, like, even health sometimes. I look at people and I'm like, you're dabbling in all these things. But do you have the basics down?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's some people in my life where I'm like, they're like, I just can't answer my health stuff. And I'm like, I get it, but are you committed to the basics?
Yeah.
But they're looking for another solution. And I think it's just part of our culture sometimes.
It is.
And I think we need both. But the basics are just so important. And they move the needle so greatly.
Yes.
Which I think is like a huge takeaway from this. It's like,
sure.
Just establish the basics and you will move mountains.
say it.
Do this, and you will move mountains. That's all you need.
And accept who you are. You don't have to be anything you're not.
That's right.
Totally. Okay. As we start to transition, I want to ask you a question that we ask all of our guests.
Yes.
Where in your life do you feel called to be more fully expressed?
I love this question. And Sam, I think both of you saw this post. I dabbled in some full expression this last week. As I mentioned, growing up very fundamentalist Christian, and then here I am in this like very new agey, I'm using air quotes because it's the oldest information we have.
Literally.
It's not new at all. but I'm letting that part of me shine unapologetically, and it's taken me this long to feel safe enough to do that. But I love all of this, and I'm not trying to convince my fundamentalist Christian friends and family and community that they should try human design. Like, I'm just allowing this to be who I am. And I know that my faith has grown tenfold since I have opened my eyes to how beautifully curated every human is. Like, when I tell you my work with human design is sacred, I mean it. Like, I'm like, oh, this is how you were made in God's image. I can't wait to share this information with you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm allowing myself to be more fully expressed about how much I love the moon and the stars and crystals and cycles of the earth and the body. And it's all, you know, and then through human design, just seeing how beautifully and wonderfully every human is made. It's been, and now I'm just like not ashamed of that part of me. So I bought a little sweater that says Good Witch and I wear it. And
I love it so
much. That's like my coming out party. I mean, I've been sharing this for a while, but there's been some trepidation. And now I'm like, I'm done feeling like this. And
I feel like it brought me closer to God. Like, you see how divine it is, inexplainable when you start to study the stars, how intricately connected we are. And like, all you have to do is look at pictures of nature and then look at our fingerprints and our organs and our brain. Like, it's so inextricably linked that it's like we are God and God is us. And like, you can have it all. Like, it's all God.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been given to us if it wasn't God.
Ooh, goosebumps. Goosebumps.
So good.
Church. So, yeah.
We love you so much.
We love you. Thank you so much.
I love you.
We could talk for 10 hours.
We absolutely could.
And we should one day.
Yeah, yes, we'll do a part two.
Please, please. Yes.
Part two, moving past the fundamentals.
There you go.
Into the, I don't know, the next step. But
yeah.
No, it's just the deeper layers.
Thank you.
Keep sharing it.
Yeah.
Share it louder. Share it loudly.
Received.
And boldly.
Thank you.
Unapologetically.
Yes.
And we'll be here celebrating and supporting you along the way.
Yes. Ladies, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Love you.
Love you.
We hope you loved today's episode and that it sparked something in you on your journey to becoming more fully expressed.
Don't forget to check the show notes for all the details and resources from today's conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review.
We'd love to hear your honest thoughts and takeaways as it really helps us to create content that better serves you.
This week, we invite you to show up even more as you. More honest, more real, more expressive in your life and business. And we'll see you on the next one.